Today's show is sponsored by TheAthletic.com, a subscription-based sports news site for real fans. With a subscription to The Athletic, you get access to their complete library of written, audio, and video content covering professional and college sports at the national and local level. Our very own Greg Allman covers our beloved Buccaneers for The Athletic, and he is doing a great job. So not only will you get access to all of Greg's great content, but you're going to get access to national writers that you already know, like Jay Glazer and Michael Lombardi. What I like best is the fact that there's no pop-up ads, there's no clickbait, just great sports writing that's going to get you exclusive player profiles. It's going to dive deep into the analytics. You're going to get power rankings, fantasy sports insights, things like that you're never going to find anywhere else. So you're ready to get started? All right, here's the deal. To get 40% off, that's right, 40% off your yearly subscription. Just go to theathletic.com/overtime.
Touchdown Tampa Bay, you're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast. I am Brent Allen, your host, joined as always by my longtime co-hosting partner here, Ren Daxt. Ren, welcome. Two live streams in 1 week, my friend.
In 2 days.
Oh, that's right. Because we just did this. Was it yesterday?
Friday.
Yeah. So we are back again, my friend.
Yes.
But with all new content.
We'll see.
And all new everything. This is our special. This is a live stream. I want to say hello to everybody who is joining us live at youtube.com/thePewterCast. That chat room over there is already filling up, which is pretty cool. Thank you guys for joining us. Listen, guys, this is pretty much going to follow our typical instant cast format. Ren and I'll talk a little bit. You guys call in and we'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. This is sort of our free agency Eve call-in show. And there's tons of stuff to talk about, Ren. Things you and I have purposely not been talking about yet so far. And no, perhaps it's time for us
for
to...
months.
For months, right. And so perhaps it's time for us to at least give our thoughts on a certain topics. You know, maybe we can actually talk about what do we think the Bucs should do with Jameis. You know, we've avoided the arguments for so long. And I'm glad to continue doing that. But for right now, we can, this seems like a good time to get in there and talk about all that kind of stuff.
Yes, the time is now. I guess about a half hour before we came on, the league made it official that they're officially not moving the start of the season.
Right.
So the deadline to tag someone is at 11:59 tomorrow.
Like a.m., right? Like right before noon?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. And then 1 second after that, the tampering period begins, which means you will start hearing free agency deals at 12:01 because everyone knows they've been tampering since Indianapolis. So
right.
Then you have that 3 days and all those deals that you heard about, you know, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday will become official at 4 o'clock on Wednesday when the new league begins, new league year begins. And the NFL has come out and said that that's what they're going to do. They're not moving it.
Right. So this time seems like a good time. I don't know, Ren, I hesitate to say that there's a lot to talk about as far as the Buccaneers go, but there certainly seems to be some stuff. And we got people over in the chat room right now who are already asking. They're asking us, what do we think about Tom Brady? Who do we think gets the tag? One person says that Ren is damn sexy in that orange turtleneck.
Yeah. Well, so, that's Stank.
So, yeah. That's our buddy Stank.
If you listen to his podcast or the podcast, not the Buccaneers. What's the other one he's always on? Loose Cannons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's their shtick. Mm-hmm. Yes. Making you feel uncomfortable.
Well, big Stank, Stank Bastard. I hope you call in tonight, man. Talk to us. And, you know, whatever it is you really want to talk about. Typically,
We have like a list of stuff, but we'll just, you know, as people call in, we knock off the list. So we'll go ahead and do that. We'll open up the phone lines. Phone lines are open right now, guys. If you guys want to call in, you guys can definitely do that. That number, I'm going to put it up here at the bottom of the screen, is 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. I always remind people, this is a PG-13 show. So do with that what you will. I probably won't edit too much out of it. Let's have a good conversation about some stuff. And if you hear something another caller thinks that you agree or disagree with, you're welcome to interact with that as well. And the other thing you guys can do if you don't want to call in is if you have like your phone, the BeLive app, or maybe you're at home on your computer, you guys can actually join us right here in the chat at youtube.com, which will be super fun. We'll throw you in here and we'll get to talk to you guys. So you guys start doing that, but we'll open up those phone lines. That's 864-729-2827. We've got that scrolling across the bottom of the screen there as well. So Ren, buddy, we'll see if people call in tonight. I don't know what's going to happen, but as far as kicking us off, man, is there any like burning topic that you want to just go ahead and address right up here at the top of the show?
Well, I guess we can't bury the lead with the signing of Ryan Tannehill and now it being widely reported that TB12 it's down to going back to New England or mm-hmm. coming here.
Right. So, go ahead. Oh, well, I was going to say, so first things first, and we'll talk about all the whys here in just a second, but what is your immediate take on the idea of the Buccaneers signing Tom Brady over Jameis Winston?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, it's selfishly, when at first there was even hints or talks about it, mm-hmm. you know, when Tom Brady's, you know, going to test free agency, everyone's like, oh, cool. And then you start hearing people say, well, the Bucs could be an attractive spot for him. And then,
right.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, here we go. We got somebody calling in already. You are on the line with Brent and Ren. We were just talking about Tom Brady, but you can talk about anything you want to. Who do we have here tonight? Oh, hold on. Bring him over. There you go. We got you. Can you hear us now? There it is. Who is this?
Man,
this is Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Eric, how's it going, man? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Tampa.
Oh, you're from right there in Tampa. There you go. I guess that'd be the 813 area code there. Eric, what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Tom Brady.
All right, talk to us about it, man.
What's your percentage? I would like to have Tom Brady over James.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Eric,
you're a little muffled. Yeah. Can you move the microphone on your phone so we can hear you a little bit better?
Okay.
That's a little bit better. Yeah, go ahead, man.
What's your, I heard it is a two-team race for Tom Brady, the Bucs and the Patriots. I never thought we'd be in the race for Tom Brady at this point in the race.
Yeah, I think we might have lost you there, Eric. I'm not entirely sure.
I had a hard time understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, he was talking about Tom Brady. If I understood him right, Eric, you know, if you can hear me, you're certainly welcome to call back. We'll see if we can't get. Oh, there he moves. See if we can get him. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better, man. Hey, maybe we just had a bad connection okay. That first time. Try your your comment there one more time.
I was going to go back to Tom Brady. Yeah, I was saying, I was thinking them was not the answer for the Bucs. It takes 5 years to take the Bucs to the playoffs. I really think Tom Brady could be the missing piece.
You think Tom Brady could be the missing piece? Yeah.
Yeah. But look at this. Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls. I think Tom Brady can handle the Bucs also. I really think he can. I heard rumors that Tom Brady wants AB too. Do you think Antonio Brown could add to the Bucs fire piece? Maybe 3 wide receiver set. 3 wide receiver to tight end for Tom Brady. What do you guys think about that? That's what I've been hearing. That could happen.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Ren, he's asking, he says, Tom Brady, if he can win 6 Super Bowls, can he handle the Bucs and handle the Bucs offense? And could he possibly actually bring Antonio Brown to the Buccaneers? Would we even really want him? What do you think, Ren?
Well, I know that narrative is out there about, you know, first year quarterbacks under Bruce Arians offense, and everyone just kind of points to Carson Palmer. But if you mm-hmm. go back and look at other first year quarterbacks, that narrative starts to fall apart mm-hmm. as in they throw this massive amount of interceptions and have a better year in year two. I know in general, you would think that would be the case, but that narrative starts to fall apart. And anybody thinks that Tom Brady's football IQ can't pick up an offense and be able to be effective. I think it's ridiculous. I think it kind of falls into that same argument. Well, he's a left tackle. You can't switch to a right tackle. His feet are all different. Like, right, I right. just think it falls into that. The Antonio Brown thing is absolutely ridiculous. Tony Brown's not coming to the Buccaneers. They love the locker room. They like the way it is. Of course, they're going to bring in new people. but with the leadership they have in there, and Tom Brady, I think, and I haven't followed it, but you know, Antonio Brown will say something about, you know, wanting to get back in the league, yeah, and Tom Brady will like it. That doesn't mean that, hey, wherever I go, I want Antonio Brown. It's just one player that happened to be a teammate of his for a very short period of time is struggling and putting himself out there on social media. And Tom Brady's like, yeah, okay, I got your back. I understand. You know, we're still friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Tom Brady, like all that discussion with picking the roster or with personnel moves, that's all overblown. You know, he might have some input like, hey, we have these two wide receivers. One of them you have a history with. Can you tell us about him? Mm-hmm. Would this be someone you'd like to go after? And the other one where he's talking about the playbook, well, you know, Bruce Arians been doing that forever. Like, he does that with Jameis. Byron does it with Jameis. Tell me the plays that you like. Those are the plays we'll run. I mean, every head coach, OC, does that with their quarterback. So if Tom Brady coming, if your fear of Tom Brady not coming here is that he's not going to get the offense, that he's going to do worse than Jameis did in his first year, or he's bringing Antonio Brown, or he's going to have to make all the personnel decisions, he's not going to do anything with the draft. Like, that's ridiculous. Tom Brady comes here, will be fine. He'll probably take us to the playoffs. We'll probably get a playoff win. The only downfall, and it's a selfish reason of mine.
Super Bowl run? Could it be the Super Bowl?
I mean, free agency hasn't started. We haven't had the draft. I don't know who they brought back, but I think it increases the chances than what we're sitting at now.
Go ahead,
we can host the Super Bowl in our own house this year, and we get new uniforms. What is it really telling us, man? Is it going to be something special this year, or what? It might be something special.
It'd be a trifecta for the Buccaneers for sure, to get new uniforms that kind of harken back to the Super Bowl era. The Super Bowl's in our stadium. We go to the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. We get the GOAT, who, by the way, is going to wear number 12. Is that a sign? I don't know. Buck the World over in the chat room seems to think it is. And we go and hoist the Lombardi. I mean, that's the stuff movies are made out of,
Chris,
you know?
I heard Chris Godwin will be mad about it, because Chris Godwin wore number 12. I heard that. I saw that on Buck Internet earlier. So I don't think he doesn't like it. Idea. Number 12.
People, yeah, that's talking about the jersey number. Look, Tom Brady walks in and Chris Godwin says, that's my number. They're going to fight it out. They're going to figure it out. Look, DeSean Jackson came in a couple of years ago, wanted number 11. It was Adam Humphries. Adam Humphries said, look, make a $10,000 donation, or however much it was, to a charity, and he'll switch his number. They'll figure that out. And if they're going to quibble and fight over a jersey number, come on, guys. Chris Godwin's way too much of a team player to do that.
That's where McCoy left. It was about the jersey number. That's why McCoy left.
There's a reason he's gone. Anyway, that's not it. But there's.
I got a couple ideas. I got some more questions before I want to get off the phone with you guys.
All right, what's up, man?
How about Philip Rivers? Because Philip Rivers moved his family to Florida. But do we have any sources where at in Florida he moved to?
Yeah,
do you have any sources?
Yeah, he's asking about Philip Rivers, where he just moved to Florida. Do we have any sources about that? I mean, the whole talk about Philip Rivers has died down significantly.
Yeah, he moved to Destin, which is in the Panhandle.
Right.
So I guess he's going to be a Falcon or a Jaguar. Like, you know, it has really nothing to do with it. Now, Rick Stroud is reporting that the pecking order for the Buccaneers is Brady, Bridgewater, Rivers, and Winston somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going
to,
like...
I would like to. I heard Bruce Irvin left because of Bridgewater. Man, I think if I had to choose Brady over Bridgewater, here's my four options: Brady 1, Bridgewater 2, Irvin 3, and James Winston number 4.
Yeah, it's. I don't agree with that. I would put Jameis a lot higher than that. For me personally, and I'll get into that here in just a few minutes, but. I mean, there's valid reasons for that. Like, we've been saying this, like, if you want to keep Jameis at number one, you have reasons you should do. If you don't want to keep him, you've got reasons you shouldn't. So, all right. One more question, Eric. We're going to clear this line out. What's up?
How much do you think Tom Brady will want from him? A big buck? I heard the Bucks willing to give him anything he wants. Anything. Is that true, Yarmouth? Is that true?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. But, Ren, I take that. The Buccaneers want, Eric, I'm going to clear this line real quick, but we're going to talk on this topic right now. Thanks, man. So the Buccaneers, you know, the reports have been they're willing to give him anything he wants.
Right.
You have to take that with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah, that went hand in hand with the same discussion about he gets to pick the players and he gets to pick plays, and that discussion all came together. Like, the Bucks are willing to give Tom Brady whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And in that discussion, there was nothing about money. It was just assumed that it was going to be $30 million.
Right.
But everything he wanted was control over the roster, control over the plays. You know, mm-hmm. that was everything he wants. And it's not going to happen. Like, are mm-hmm. they going to ask him his input on certain things? It'd be ridiculous not to. The right. guy's been in the league for almost 20 years. You know, he's been to the Super Bowl 9 times. Mm-hmm. Has it been 9? Yeah, 9 times. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to ask his opinion, but
right.
he's not the gavel, you know. Right. He's not the GM, he's not a Buccaneer. So
right. Right. And I mean, I've actually seen numbers that go up as high as $43 million a year for him to do that. So look, salary cap is still a thing, new thing notwithstanding. So we got another call coming in here, Ren. Let's check this out and see who's here. You're on the line with Brent and Ren. Who is this tonight?
Chef Aaron, guys, how you doing?
Chef, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, I'm just salivating the fact that we have some sports to rely on.
There we go. Hey, listen, that's a part of the reason why Ren and I are doing this, is a little bit to stay entertained, because we have nothing else to talk about, you know? So, hey, weigh in on this, Chef. Weigh in this. I know you've been calling around to all the other podcasts and stuff out there, but your thoughts on Tom Brady possibly coming to the Bucks?
I would not hate it one bit. I mean, I know there are some people that want to say, oh, he doesn't have the arm strength, or he doesn't have the ability that he wants anymore. You know, yes, I understand highlight films don't show everything, but if you actually watch his 2019 highlight film, mm-hmm. you see him throwing dimes of 60 to 70 yards. He starts running the tight windows, and when you look at his supporting cast, that's basically a practice squad roster that he was carrying for 16 games. Mm-hmm. And I believe he had like 4,057 pass yards with like 24 touchdowns to 8 picks. And guess what? They went 12-4. So that goes a long way. And yes, he had a great defense the first half, but kind of dwindled down later in the half. But all I can say is just imagine if he has Evans, Godwin, Ray, even OJ, Rojo, all that stuff. Do people really think if people really think that Tom Brady would be horrific, then their bias is just really showing, and they need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Let me ask you, what do you think, and Ren, actually I'll throw this one over to you first, put yourself in Tom Brady's shoes for a minute. As a player, which team do you think looks more solid, like which team looks more attractive when you look at who you get to play with, the roster that's going to be there, you know, what you could find? Is it staying up there in Patriots? Because I don't know their roster. I really don't. Like, would it be staying with the Patriots, you think, or do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Because, I mean, we know we got a hell of a roster. You know, the league knows that we have a hell of a roster, at least as far as wide receivers go. Two of them made the damn Pro Bowl this past year, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess offensively, you could say that it's the Bucs, because, I mean, they tried last year to get mm-hmm. Tom Brady weapons. You know, they right. went out and got Sanu. They went out and got Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. They had a first-round draft pick that was a receiver. Just none of it panned out for him.
Right.
You know, and, you know, go back to something that Chef was saying before I sort of answer your questions, Brent, about Tom Brady. It's like, everyone's talking about like Brady's a guy that gets the ball out fast now and quick, and he, you know, hits his first read, and he's, they don't go as far as Captain Checkdown, but he likes to go over the middle. And that's the way I look at it, is that's just kind of the guys that he's had, mm-hmm. you know, once Gronk left, like he didn't have that deep threat. But if you go back and remember, and now I understand I'm going back quite a few years, but when he had
Randy Moss,
thank you. When he had Moss, he set the league record for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like those guys hooked up for like 20, 30. It was, I think the actual number was 109 in a 16 game season. Okay. But that's what I'm saying.
It's like 23 touchdowns that year.
23 touchdowns. And we flip out when Mike Evans gets 13, 14.
Right.
He had 23 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And like, if anybody was old enough to remember to be playing fantasy that year, if you had those two guys, you won the league, by the way. So what Big Belichick does is he does the game plan that best fits his personnel and attacks their weakness. And they just haven't had. They haven't had the two guys. They haven't had the Mike Evans and the Chris Godwin. And you can even throw Perryman mm-hmm. in there with be able to throw down to a running back. I mean, how many times did I say it last year, Brent, about like you only need three people to throw the ball to? Because Tom Brady's been doing it for years.
Right.
He has Edelman, he had Gronk, and he threw to his back, whoever that was at the time, you know. And they go and they went out and they win 12 games. So this narrative that Brady doesn't you know, doesn't throw it long, can't fit in BA's offense because he doesn't push the ball down the field. It's just, to me, it's just a bunch of hogwash. So,
yeah,
you know, and, the only reason that I think people are against Tom Brady, and I can understand it because it's sort of a selfish thing with me too, is it's because of his age. You know, what we want as a fan,
I think, as well.
Yeah, what we want as a fan base is we want that guy. We want the Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. We want the Russell Wilson. We want the Ben Roethlisberger 5-8 years ago. We want the guy that you can lock up for like 7 years and you know that you're going to be in the dance unless, you know, there's this horrible, like, you have a really bad year. But if everything goes as planned, like, you're going to win 10 games. You're going to win 11 games. You're going to win 12 games. But,
I would even amend that. It's not even if everything goes as planned. If you could even say if 50% of the things go as planned, you're going to be in the playoffs.
We want our guy. Buck fans want to be like, this is our guy. And we remember when I used to say this way back at the beginning of the Peter cast, where it's like, Jameis Winston might be the last Tampa Bay quarterback I ever lived to see.
Yep. I remember that very well.
Because he was like 22, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And he could play for another 20 years.
Yeah.
And I smoke. So he might be. And, you know, that's what fans want. That's the only reason you would not be on board with Tom Brady, or you're just really upset that Jameis is gone and you're a huge Jameis fan. For some reason, Buccaneers fans think Jameis belongs to them personally. Yeah. I don't know if it's because they went to Florida State. Like, it's been like, there's
general. I want to address that, actually, Ren. I really want to address that. And Chef, I've got you on the line, so I want you to chime in on this. But where you're talking about the Buck fans feel like they own Jameis, where you're talking about the idea of like, you have nothing else against Brady. Cause I'll give you one more reason to not want Brady. The fact it's Tom Brady and we've all been pulling against him for the last 12 years and going, how many times have we said, I hate Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady. I just hate Tom Brady. And the idea that he might come here, you're like, yeah, well, that's kind of, yeah, I guess if we could. But the other thing about Jameis, though, is I feel emotionally invested in Jameis Winston as a Bucks fan for the last 5 years. We have, and I mean, Ren, especially us here on the podcast, Chef, I know with as much as you write in, with as much as you call these other podcasts, you probably feel emotionally invested with Jameis Winston and the fact that you want him to work out. But we're to this point now with Jameis where it's been 5 years. It hasn't. We've given him just about everything we possibly could, except for maybe a top 10 O-line and a super dope running game.
And the defense and a kicker.
Sure, sure. No, I get it. I mean, we can make all these excuses.
Right.
We can make all the excuses, but the fact is it just hasn't happened. But we still want it to happen. I mean, am I alone in this? Does this not ring true as a Bucks fan? Like, we would love for it to be Jameis Winston.
This is me. This is me and where I'm at in my current state of mind when it comes to the whole quarterback situation and just Jameis and all that stuff in general. Look, when Jameis first came to Tampa, I loved it. I praised it, and I thought he was going to be the franchise game changer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't hate Jameis, which some people will think I do after this call. I don't hate him at all. I'm just sick and tired of making the same-ass excuses for him year after year. It's like, it comes to a point where a quarterback can overcome those deficiencies around the team with a defense and all that stuff. I mean, clearly, later this year, we saw the defense rise up. We saw them get a lot better, saw them sack the quarterback and even start even picking off some interceptions. And we also saw Rojo start to emerge. He had our first 100-yard rush game at the season finale. But what I've been constantly seeing is that even if Jameis does get those, it still doesn't matter because his pick his interceptions just ruin it. And I'm not trying to put everything on him.
Right.
If I get the kicker was a problem at the end of the last four games or whatever. But it's like, at the end of the day, you cannot win in this league when you're turning the ball over 2 to 3 times a game. And I don't know what the stats generation things or whatever it is about, but Jameis literally has thrown 81 interceptions and 75 starts. Mm-hmm. That is not how you win in this league.
Right.
And I don't know if his interceptions will ever calm down. Obviously, he will not throw 30 interceptions like he did this year, but what's the ceiling? Like 12, 15 interceptions and as high being 20 to 22. Mm-hmm. It's like, you cannot win like that. Even Garoppolo, who was the quarterback the quarterback in the playoffs, he had the most interceptions at 13. All other quarterbacks that in the playoffs didn't have any were higher to that.
And is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked it up a little while ago. And it's like, I get that Bucks fans are like scared of moving on from the Jameis because of past history and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you rely on that, then you're going to put yourself in even more harm's way because you're scared of an outcome that you don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And say Tom Brady, the GOAT, is available and all that stuff. I mean, not only does he make us relevant, he will sell tickets, but the thing that I don't understand why people just cannot figure this out is that the offensive line is not going to be the same. And guess what? Tom Brady, on that offensive line that people are saying New England was better, it actually wasn't, because you know what? Tom Brady was actually sacked half the amount of times that Jameis was at 27 to Jameis 47. And it's like, Tom Brady is the most cerebral quarterback the NFL probably has ever seen, and still has the quickest trigger that's like, he's not going to be standing in the pocket for 5 to 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If he sees something, he'll locate it and he'll throw it like in what, half a second or whatever it is. It's like, people need to understand that Tom Brady did not have the requisite weapons last year to really succeed. Yes, they went 12-4, and Bill Belichick is obviously probably the greatest coach in NFL history, but when you actually look at the talent that Tom Brady had to work with, I don't even know if Jameis Winston could have succeeded with all that. And Jameis Winston has some of the best weapons in the NFL the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I want to address the O-line. I want to address the O-line situation real quick, because I know a lot of people in the chat room have said this. Ren, you and I both addressed this when we did our battle plan. I think we actually talked about it the other day as well. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go out and lock up their quarterback, they lock up, and they will, they're going to lock up a quarterback. They're not going to go rookie. At least I very seriously doubt they will. Say they get a Tom Brady. They bring back their entire defense. Well, guess who they're drafting this year? They're drafting all these O-linemen who will be ready to start, you know, or who are going to want to start. So, you know, they're going to invest in that offensive line because that's it, the offensive line run game, because that's about it as far as like glaring holes, right? So at least that's my interpretation of it. You know, they go settle these guys in free agency. We'll take care of that side over there. You know, who knows how the draft is going to fall out, but that's, you know, that's just my piece on the O-line. So Chef, man, you got anything else before I let you go tonight, buddy?
Yeah, I just, like I said, if Jameis comes back, I'll be fine with it. I'll have no grievances whatsoever. I will say that I don't want to hear any more excuses on any interceptions anymore. But that being said, I really just want fans to really try to keep open minds on this stuff and stop making it sound like this is going to be the exact same roster we're going to have going into this upcoming season, just because you want to keep Jameis. It's so fabricated, it's not even funny.
Right, right. All right, Chef. Hey, man, thank you so much. I'm going to clear this line. We're going to let some people call in here in just a second, all right?
All right, good night, guys.
Thanks, Chef. Thanks, Chef.
Hey, Chef.
Hey, Ren, I want to hold the phone calls for just a minute because I'd like for you and I, we had kind of started this, and I want to just give us a second to kind of get our final thoughts on Tom Brady in, and then we'll, you know, talk about whatever anybody else wants to talk about. But before we started taking all these calls, give me your, do you want Tom Brady or would you rather stay with Jameis or, you know, go with somebody else? Like, what do you actually want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to do at the quarterback position?
Sure. I mean, you know, a little bit what Chef, a couple of things Chef there at the end, I thought said something that, I find very poignant, that no matter how much of a biggest Jameis fan you are, if you can't see that there's an upside with Tom Brady, or at least a possibility of an upside with Tom Brady, then you're just looking at it from the classic definition of a fan. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't even bring in your thought or even say anything nice about Tom Brady becoming a Buccaneer and thinking that they're going to succeed, then you're just being totally biased. You know, when it first started, like I said, like, it's not that I felt like I owned Jameis Winston or had all this invested in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that what I wanted, and I really didn't care who it was, but right now it just happens to be Jameis. I want like 10, 15 years, the same guy.
Right, right.
You know, I want to have that stability, that consistency at the QB position, where it's going to be like, you know, fluctuate up and down somewhere within the top 10 of quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, I've said it a bunch of times. Like, if Jameis didn't throw 30 interceptions, it would have been a two-man MVP race. Like, right. That's how good of a year he had. You know, and Chef said something about, you know, making him doing the same mistakes over and over and over. I just don't agree with that. Like, the deep ball improved, his completion percentage improved, his ball control, you know, holding onto the ball inside the pocket has improved. You know, his feel, the blind side feel has improved. Like, Jameis Winston has everything you want in a franchise quarterback, except he turns the ball over at an alarming rate. And when we thought that we had the guy that was going to bring that down to like an acceptable level, it doubled.
Right.
And now everyone's just like, what the hell do we do now?
Right.
You know, what the hell do we do now? So to answer your question, I think Tom Brady's about the only guy, I don't want to say I would rather see, but I wouldn't be disappointed in.
Okay.
You know, like, like if they move on from Jameis, okay, do I want it to happen? No, I don't. If they bring in Carr or Bridgewater or Rivers or, you know, make a trade for somebody I'm not even thinking of.
Right.
Go and get Andy Dalton. You know, I'm going to, you know, they're now my quarterback and I'm going to cheer for him. Right. But I'll be disappointed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When the rumors first started flying about Tom Brady, I was like, no, like, and it was because, well, he's only going to be here 2 years. Then now what?
Right.
Well, you know what? Now what? You go and draft the guy you did two nights ago, Morgan at FIU in the seventh.
Right.
And you sit him for 2 years. And now you got your Carson Palmer prototype that's had 2 years to sit behind Tom Brady.
I think of Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Morgan's not that guy, but he's not Aaron Rodgers.
No, but I'm talking about the guy who's going to sit behind somebody else and then take over the reins.
Mahomes sat for a year in Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah.
You know, watch Alex Smith run it and listen to Andy Reid for a whole year before he got into it. So
Lamar Jackson, he didn't go out first. Didn't he sit behind Joe Flacco for a year or something like that, or half a year?
Eight games. Yeah. But that doesn't really count because they changed the whole entire offense. What he was looking at with Flacco, like, it didn't matter because they changed the whole entire offense. But I understand what you're saying. But here's the thing. Now that Tom Brady's coming, it's like, it's probably playoffs.
Now that he's coming, Ren.
Oh, yeah, I know. Sorry.
Are you telling us something? Do you know something that we don't know?
If he's coming, it's probably playoffs, especially with this new expansion that now has been ratified. An extra team's going to make it this year. So now seven teams go. Then, you know, and you have him for 2 years and you draft your guy now and you keep rolling. And okay, well, but Bruce Arians, he'll be gone. And you'll waste, like, you know, the end of Levante Day. No, it's not a waste, because if you're a GM, you want to win every single year and you go all in every year. And if you want to go all in and you want to give your team the best chance to make a run of the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's your guy.
Yeah.
He's probably the only one where I wouldn't be like, man, I really wish rather have Jameis than Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater. Cause I really would.
Right.
And yes, part of it's because that I want to have a homegrown guy.
Yeah.
You know,
you still
a guy
want
that
Jameis to work out.
Right.
You still want it to be Jameis.
I do. I still want it to be Jameis. But if it's Tom Brady, I'm not going to be like, oh, the Bucs are so stupid. What idiots, what clowns. Like, because Jameis Winston has given you nothing to get behind him as to say that he's going to change the way he takes care of the football. And that's the number one factor for winning and losing football games.
Yeah. So my thoughts on that are, and it's actually very similar to yours, Ren. Go figure, you and I are actually pretty much in line with a lot of this stuff. Is the basic idea of I want longevity, which is why I've been against a Philip Rivers and a Tom Brady, those two guys specifically, because there's not going to be longevity with those two guys. This is their final contract before they ride off into the sunset. That's what these two guys are looking for right now. They're looking for one last hurrah, one last shot at possibly maybe getting a ring, and they're gonna sail off into the sunset. And that's pretty much how it's going to go. I'm not interested in that. I want somebody who's going to come in here. I'm looking for that long-term type deal. And to me, the best person on the market right now that's probably a long-term deal is Jameis Winston. I think I would like Jameis Winston more than I want Teddy Bridgewater, who could also be a long-term contract. Mm-hmm. I think I want Jameis Winston more than I want a Derek Carr, which if we went and traded, you know, you kind of backed me into a corner with Derek Carr, Ren, that one show we did a bunch of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden people started talking about trading for Derek Carr, like after we did that show. And I was like, hey, look at that. You know, I think I'd still like to stay with Jameis, because there is the simple fact. Yes, he throws 30 interceptions this past year. He's probably never getting up back up to that number. he also threw 5,000 yards and 30. And we can give all the excuses. You know, I don't have to enumerate them here. I think I would like that more. I've also said that I wouldn't mind making a major, major, major trade and going up and get their guy in the draft if they feel like that's who that is, as opposed to sticking with a Jameis Winston or something like that. Short of that, you know, I think I've been saying I tend to want to stay with Jameis. I think the caveat I find myself in now is, now that I've had time to think about it and digest it over the past couple of months, is with the roster that we have right now, the defense that finally looks like it's showing up, which we could talk about. Remember last time we had a defense that showed up late in the season and then we retained everything and then it came back out the next season and nothing really happened.
That's a different situation because we were winning off timely turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't the defense was stopping any. They weren't number one against the rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were, it was timely turnovers.
Right.
That lasted for like 5 weeks.
Right. So assuming the defense comes back and picks up where they left off this time, unlike it happened in 2016, 2017, assuming that, that, you know, our star players continue to play like stars and, you know, let's say they even upgrade the offensive line 50% of what it's been. The idea that we could come in and with this roster right now, if the missing piece on this roster is a quarterback and that missing piece is Tom Brady, that's going to take us to go get a Super Bowl, like right now or next year, then yeah, go get him. Let's get the Super Bowl right now. And then in 2 years, we can press the reset button and we'll go through, you know, a lot of the growing pains again. But if we can do it right now, because I don't want to waste Mike Evans anymore. I don't want to waste Ali Marpet anymore. I don't want to waste Devin White's career or Levante David's career. It's not that I'm worried about them as people in their careers. I'm just saying they're good ass players and we've got them on this team.
All right.
Let's not waste them. Let's go take them somewhere and do something. And if the position that's holding us back is the quarterback spot and Tom Brady is going to come in and do that, and the administration, the GM, the head coach, they feel that Tom Brady's the guy to do that, then damn it, go get him. Let's go get the Super Bowl. And then we'll figure it out when we get on the other side and go for longevity. That's the only way that I'm good with this and comfortable with this. And by the way, if they bring a guy like Tom Brady in and sell the farm, whatever they're going to do for him, they're not going to give him everything. And I'm with you, Ren. I don't think they're going to give him roster control or
$53 million
for one year or whatever. That's absurd and ridiculous. But they bring him in and all of a sudden it's a legit thing. I could care less about the idea that the Glazers will sell more tickets to the games, other than the fact it just fills up the stadium with our fans, hopefully our fans, because we know other fans teams like to travel to Tampa. So, you know, I don't care about that. You know, so anyway, hey, we're getting a phone call. Why don't we take a phone call?
Sure.
You are on the line with Brent and Ren for our pre-free agency call-in show. Who do we have here tonight? Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Let me get you flipped over here to the screen. Go ahead. Who is this? Who do we have here tonight? Yeah, who is this?
Hey, this is Steve from California.
Steve from California. What's going on, man?
What up, man? How you guys doing?
Hey, it's good. The off-season. It's free agency is about to start. League hasn't changed anything, so we're here to talk about it. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Hey, so I was thinking, hear me out on this, right? So what if the Bucks let go of Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul, but sign Armstead and then draft Chase on it? What do you think? I feel like financially that'd be a good move. What's his face had a good year last year on Armstead. And I people say that he had a good year last year because he was on a good defensive line. But I mean, if he went to the Bucks, he'd be on a badass defensive line. You know what I mean? He'd have Vita Vea. You'd have
Golson, Shaq, Nassib.
What's his name? Shaq Barrett would come back on the franchise tag. Arik Armstead had 10 sacks last year. He's not going to get franchise tagged by the Niners. And then drafting Chase on, that'd be dope. Mm-hmm. I feel like a defensive line would be stacked.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you know, that could be one possibility, and that could be something they're looking at. Something that I've learned as far as like when I started following this really closely and trying to predict these free agent things and drafts and stuff, that Jason Light does what I think he's going to do positionally wise, but personnel wise, it's totally different. It's like, I never, like a couple years ago, it was like, man, he's really got to fix that defensive line. Well, the way he did it, I never saw it coming. Like, traded for JPP, picked up Nassib, you know, off waivers, went and got Bo Allen, went and got Vinnie Curry. Like, none of those guys I thought were coming to the Buccaneers. I didn't know who
half of those guys were until they came to the Buccaneers, to be honest with you.
I don't remember who I was saying, oh, they should go get this guy, this guy, and this guy. But like, I wasn't saying they should fix the defensive line. They should get one off, like this one, you know, watch the waiver wire, we'll get one there. you know, trade a third round draft pick for an elite pass rusher. We'll get one there and then get some, you know, fill in guys off, you know, the Super Bowl roster. Like I don't remember saying that. So, you know, if it seems that everyone's locked into like JPP, Sue, Nassib, or JPP, Sue, and Barrett, and then we can replace Nassib. But you're right. Like, you could let Sue go and bring in Armstead, and then let JPP go and draft an edge there at 14.
Yeah, go young. I think Chase Young's going to be a beast, man. I love it if they went young, and you got Shaq, Vita. Vita be drawing all the double teams. Armstead, like I said, he had a hell of a year last year. The years before that, I think he didn't do all that well, but he did get 10 sacks last year. Obviously, he was playing with Bosa and Buckner, but I feel like our defensive line could be just a stack. You know what I mean? With Vita Vea drawn, I mean, he's a beast. Got Shaq. Let Chase on draft develop. He'll be on that rookie contract. He'll be economical. And then maybe that allows us to go out and get a safety or a veteran corner. I would love a veteran corner. They need to get a veteran corner because we're too thin. Brian Smith, you know, he'll be a free agent. So
he won't come back. I don't think they're going to sign him back.
You don't think they'll sign him back for special teams?
I'd be dope. If he came back for special teams, that'd be sick.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that I want to depend on for depth, though.
Whenever he was on the field, I was terrified. I was like, oh, my God. But I don't know, man. Hopefully, and I don't really see, I'd love to see them be able to go out in free agency and add an offensive, like a right tackle, but that's like that. We have too much money on the offensive line. And honestly, if we fix right tackle, I love our offensive line. I feel like Donovan Smith, people want to bash on them all they want, but he had a good year last year. Ali Marpet is Ali Marpet. Ryan Jensen had a hell of a year. Kappa, last year, I feel like, was his rookie year, to be honest. The way Dirk, you know, him and Rojo, I feel like their first year was a complete waste.
Yeah.
But
I think it doesn't matter. Whatever they end up doing at right tackle, which hopefully I hope it's a draft pick on the first round, maybe second, because, you know, I wouldn't mind getting, you know, the Nigerian prince out of Auburn, or the other tackle out of Georgia, I believe Wilson, or, you know, I guess my favorite guy after the top four, you know, of course there's Josh Johnson, but I like the kid out of TCU. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's like N-I-E-U-G or something, who had great tape in 18, but had like this really bad hip problem and looked terrible in 19 until they finally just shut him down because it hurt so much. Like, he's a guy that I think that if he would have had his 18 tape this year, you know, like if those seasons were flopped, we're talking like he's going to be in that conversation of the tier two, maybe even tier one. He might have been a guy that flew up the boards like Becton did at almost like in a weekend. So when they put somebody there, I think this running game is going to take off. Like, everyone loves Dot because he's candid. He talks all the time. The guy has not been able to run block for like 3 years. And like, it's terrible. It was terrible. The reason no one noticed it 2 years ago was because Benenacht was like an apparition. Like, you could just walk right through him. He didn't exist.
A turnstile.
But all you had to do was like line up on the inside of Dot's shoulder, and the guy was going to make the tackle. If you ran at him, Dot couldn't block him. If you ran away from him, the guy went down the line of scrimmage and made the tackle. He was useless. And in the run game, in the passing game, he was fine. He's hard. He's big to go around. He's got long arms. He understands all that. But to be able to actually move and move people, and, you know, he just couldn't do it anymore. And it showed week after week after week after week.
Hey, so hear me out. This will be my last thought. So I honestly feel like I like our offensive line, truthfully. I think Kappa, another year. I mean, that guy is gritty. He's nasty. Obviously, he played with a, you know, fractured arm for the whole game. Respect for that. But let's just say we do draft a tackle with the first pick. I feel like Jason Light can draft and develop. Yeah, he's, you know, he's had some hits and some misses, but I feel like if they did, let's just say it's a home run, you know what I mean? We draft a Pro Bowl right tackle or all pro. Do you think our offensive line would be top 10-ish, top 15-ish? That's what I'm saying. I feel like, honestly, if whatever quarterback they bring, I feel like you hit this out the park. We get a mauler at right tackle. Like, our offensive line's in fact. So, you know, I bring in a veteran running back and them and Rojo, they can split the carries, and I think we'd be set offensively.
I'll tell you, I did my first mock draft the other day, and in late round run, I think it was like round four or something like that, I got to draft Damian Lewis, the interior offensive line. And I just started looking at his tape a little bit. And I got to tell you, I love the idea of drafting a guy like that and letting him compete with Kappa. Like I have no qualms with Kappa, but it's kind of that idea. Like you should always look for the upgrade.
Yeah.
Like where
Don't
can
be
you
afraid
upgrade?
To draft great players because you have good players.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and it could be that Kappa beats him out, like legitimately beats him out, and has nothing to do with the fact he's already been here for 2 years. He just,
that's something to be said for Jason Light, because one thing you talked about, you know, was the growth of the players last year. Uh-huh. Like Dirk Cutter's staff had no, it felt like they didn't want, or they didn't know how to develop players at any position anywhere. It was right. Like, when you're ready to be a pro, come see me. We'll get you in the game. But right, they didn't right. had, but they had no idea or even time or felt like it was their job to teach the person how to be a pro mm-hmm. and bring them along and quote unquote coach them. 1 year with Bruce Arians' staff, everyone's improved dramatically. Everyone did. And a lot of those, I mean, besides with that 17 draft where it was Hargraves yeah. Who else? And Spence and was that the Aguayo year?
Like that, Ryan was, Smith,
that was a total blow up in the face. But if you look at it this year, and you talked a little bit about it, Brent, at the beginning, there's left tackle. You'd like an upgrade at running back. Where else? Like you can, Jason Light yeah. has built a very nice roster.
Right.
Like, and a lot of places we're really young. Mm-hmm. That's assuming we bring everybody back on the defensive line, you know, and then we can start doing BPA, best player available. Then we can go get Lewis upgrade Kappa.
Yeah.
You know, we can go get a linebacker that can be a rotational guy that could play that, you know, maybe can be an outside linebacker. Oh. And then eventually when David retires, he's right there. He's already got 2-3 years and he's ready to step in the middle. Like this is the exciting time where guys that we like, we think we're set at are mm-hmm. going to stop losing their job. Like Mike Edwards might not play. We've right. already seen MJ Stewart go from like, if Bruce Arians wasn't the head coach last year, MJ Stewart would be playing somewhere
yeah.
and starting somewhere on that defense. He
I
would
agree.
Be.
Yeah, I
Bruce
agree.
Arians like, nope, you're not good enough.
And you know who wouldn't have like seen the light of day? Be a guy like Jamel Dean, you know? Which I mean, for whatever reason, Jamel Dean hasn't really worked himself into a full-time role yet, it doesn't seem like. Or even a majority time role. But, you know, every time we saw him step on the field, good things happened. And I kind of fell in love with that kid. But no, I agree. I agree. Our last caller, and I think it was Steve from California. He dropped out on us. So, hey, listen, guys, phone line's open. You all want to call in? We'll still take your calls. Ren, we never really set a time limit on this show. So it's free agency eve. We'll go until we're tired of talking to people. So you guys want to call in, you can do that. 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Call in. We'll talk about anything you want to. You can ask us any questions you want to. Sort of an AMA meets instant cast type of show. So you guys go ahead and do that. There are a couple of things that I keep seeing in the chat room as we go through. Well, never mind. I think I know who this is, Ren. You're going to love this particular phone call. Is this Brian from Memphis? Uh-huh. I thought so. Brian, hold on just one sec, buddy. Hold on just one sec. There we go. Brian, is that you?
Yep.
There he is. What's on your mind tonight, Brian?
Hey, man, I'm just checking out the show, man. Glad you guys have it.
Yeah, Brian, you got a lot of background noise right now. It was hard to hear what you just said. What'd you say?
I said, I'm glad you guys got back on. I'm out of the bar right now, so I'm glad you guys get back on. But can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. That's much better.
Okay. But, yeah, man, I was just speaking on the pre-agency thing and everything. And, you know how I feel? Like I tell you, man, I've been telling you guys for, like, about 3 years about Jameis, man. And
yeah.
I hate it came to this crossroad, but you know how I feel? I feel you definitely should move on just for the simple fact I think he's out of time. You know, when you, or someone that's been paying attention to, you know, all the offseason moves and all the things that's going on, all the stories, you know, what do you feel comfortable bringing Jameis back on? What type of contract? You know, he's not worth 30 million. You know, maybe the franchise said, but we have an option to get that Brady or that Bridgewater on all fours. Now, Brady obviously is in real now mode. I think any quarterback that's on the roster, this next season is in win now mode just because of the ripeness of the roster. You know, Jason Light has had 6 years to build this roster, and that goes into what Green was saying, like, hey, we have a good young team. We don't need many spots to fill when right. it comes down to the draft. Like, we have the 14th pick, and I always say, hey, if it's not one of those premier quarterbacks, it might slide. Like, if it's a tool, it might slide the 14th, take them. if Derrick Brown somehow find his way to 14, take him. Maybe Chin Long. But other than that, I'm all about trading down, gain more picks, and let's get more depth in what we need to do as far as the trenches, as far as the O-line, as far as the D-line. I think we have a great young secondary. They're budding. Let them grow. Let them continue to grow. Let them continue to get the reps. Let them continue to get game time reps. I think maybe we can find a linebacker somewhere in the second or third round, maybe second day, third day. Few special teams. Definitely get a running back. We can compliment Rojo. Maybe Jonathan Taylor. He's there. Maybe we take him. Maybe Cam Akers in the second and third. J.K. Dobbins, if he's around. But we're playing to win now, and I understand the reason why, you know, Jason Light is really going for it. You know, the Super Bowl is at home in Tampa. Why not go for it right now? Why not go for all the marbles?
Yeah. Hey, Brian, I got a question for you. All right. You said just a minute ago, you said you didn't think Jameis Winston was worth $30 million, right? We've talked about on this show, even tonight, that, and you've been saying it, the Buccaneers, like, Jameis Winston doesn't seem like he's their first option right now. He's second, third, fourth down the list. Okay. So that tells me they don't necessarily want to stick with Jameis for a certain long time. Let me ask you this. You're backed into a corner. Every other quarterback is signed somewhere else. Jameis Winston's the only guy left, and you're not sure what you're going to get in the draft. What kind of contract do you think, let's say he does come back to Tampa Bay, what kind of contract do you think that realistically would be? Not what would you give him, but what do you think that realistically is? Are we talking a 4-5-6 year contract? Are we talking a 2 or 3 year contract? What kind of money you think? What do you think realistically would be for Jameis Winston right now?
Realistically, I think it'd be a 2-year contract because I don't think it's a market out there for him. Not starting. I don't think he gets a starting job nowhere else but Tampa because of the continuity, because he's already been here. I think he gets either the franchise tag for 27, 28 million, whatever the number is, or he come back in 2 year, maybe 50, 55-ish type of contract. Maybe it's front-loaded. Maybe the last year is contingent on how he performs, roster bonus, whatnot. But we're paying him no more than 28. I don't see them giving him more than what the tag would be. Right. It doesn't make any sense because it's still going to be year-by-year basis. It's still going to be basically a proven contract year-by-year. And that's if no one else is on the market for us to grab. Jameis is out of time. Like you say, you don't want to waste no more white every time. You don't want to waste no more Levante Davis time. We don't piss away Jerry McCoy's time. We don't piss away Dot time. No, we are trying to win now. I do not want to hear anything about 5,000 yards or 33 touchdowns. He's not going to mention the 30 intercepts. He doesn't get close to 5,000 or 30 touchdowns without those intercepts. Rojo averaged 4.2 yards a carry last season. The same average as Alvin Kamara, but Alvin Kamara had more carries. You know why? Because New Orleans Saints doesn't turn the ball over. They can always go back to the run game. New Orleans Saints had 8 turnovers the whole season. That's why they could continue to run the ball. We can't run the ball turning the ball over. We can't. Running the ball is a look. We're not a run first team. We're a pass first team. If we come out and James won throw interceptions and pick sixes in the first position, first play, early in the game, we're already down 7-0, 10-0, whatever the case may be. We're not coming out to establish the run. We have to score. We have to pass. Right. We cannot run the ball if we're down. So let me tell everyone this is going to listen tomorrow. Jameis Winston had an all-star team at Florida State. I'm a Florida State fan. I've been watching Jameis Winston for 7 years. He had Dalvin Cook, Kevin Bisman. He had all type of good O-linemen, D-linemen, defense. He had everything. We're crying, fucking their fans. Jameis fans are saying, oh, he needs this, he needs that. He had all that at Florida State. He had one. His first year was an outlier. He did really good. The second year was the true Jameis. He was top of the FBS interception.
Yeah.
He was coming out to the draft. He was named as a turnover machine, making bad decisions. All of this 5 years later has been proven to be true. So it doesn't matter if you give him a run game and all that. It comes down to decision making. Jameis has all the talent to be an elite quarterback, but he has the lowest floor of the typical bench running quarterback. Right now, I think what the front office is saying, hey, we're not betting on the greatness, the ceiling of the greatness of Jameis. We're not betting on him anymore. It's 5 years. He hasn't showed us the ceiling, regardless of the circumstance. We need somebody in here with a higher floor than Jameis, because we've seen Jameis floor multiple times. He can be the worst quarterback at times. He can be the best quarterback at times. We're not betting on it anymore. We need somebody that's going to come in and not lose us the game. Hey, we need somebody that's going to come in and play within the team. I'm okay with losing the game as a team, getting outplayed, getting outmatched. But what I don't want is a quarterback that's going to lose it for us, add more fuel to the fire for us to lose. That's what we're at right now. You can't bring anybody in. Then the free agents in and say, hey, well, we have Jameis Winston. He's this guy. Nobody don't want to play for him. Look, guys, I don't want to go into this rant. I've been telling you guys this for 3 years. My free agency draft type of battle plan, I never made one for officially work, but I just say, hey, man, we watched how the chips fall with free agency. Look at all the other teams who they're letting go. We got guys, older guys like Cameron Wade. I don't think we bring him in, but we got guys, teams are starting to shed players.
Yeah.
They're giving us options to bring in vet players, maybe in the secondary, vet players, maybe in the trenches. I really love Conklin from the Titans. I'm in Tennessee. I really love Conklin. If we can bring him in for the right price and get him to show up their right tackle spot. But we're talking about drafting a right tackle. You don't draft a right tackle first round in 14 if he's not going to eventually be the left tackle. That's for Donovan Smith replacement, maybe the next year after his contract goes. You don't draft a right tackle to be, you don't draft a first round right tackle. You draft any tackle first round, he's going to be your left tackle at some point. So what do we do with Donovan? I think Donovan Smith was solid last year. So I think keep him, build on him. Marpet was good. Jensen was good. Kappa sucks. He's older, so it's easy to nitpick on him, but I think he's serviceable. I think you bring him back for 1 year, you draft a tackle, or you can bring a tackle in and let him kind of mold him, coach him up. You have an option there, but I'm not sold on this, oh, we didn't have a running game. No, we didn't have a running game because we couldn't run the ball. We're not a run first team, first off. We can't run the ball because we turn the ball over too much. I don't want to hear nothing about 5,000 first three turnovers, run three turnovers, run three touchdowns because of the amount of turnovers we have.
Hey, Brian, I got one question for you. I'm gonna cut you off here. I got one question for you, though, and then I'm going to actually let you go, okay? If we get rid of Jameis Winston, are you going to have anything else to call and talk to us about for the next bunch of years?
Absolutely. Like, I'm not one of these guys. I'm not one of these guys that harp on Jameis. It's just, as a Florida State fan, as a Buccaneers fan, I've been seeing what everyone else was kind of, you know, not trying to see. And
Ryan,
you guys know
Ryan,
it, man.
You harp on Jameis, brother. You harp on Jameis a lot. You know that. Come on now.
No, I give what's deserved. Yeah. You know, like I'm speaking from a Florida State fan that saw what was coming, that saw the issues this last year at Florida State, and nobody never wanted, and people were giving me a hard time, like, oh, give him time. No, it's not about time. It's decision-making. He has a decision-making problem.
Yeah.
It's not about personnel. It's not about run game. It's not about O-line. It's not about defense. I don't care. Like, you got teams out here that had worse defenses, worse run games, but that quarterback that throw 30 interceptions, they don't have notorious quarterbacks that turn the ball over. So right. I don't want to hear that. Like, no, you can have a bad team. It all comes down to decision making. And Jameis has proven in 5 years that he's not going to get better. That he's proven who he is. He's proven what everyone said coming to the draft is who he is. Now, what do we do?
Yeah.
I'm all for Brady. Let's get Brady. Let's bring some leadership in. Let's bring winning leadership in. Let's show everybody that, hey, we can win. Brady's going to fill those fans, put people in those seats. Free agents going to look at it. Oh, Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. Oh, they really have a chance. Let me look at the Buccaneers. We might get some more free agents. Free agents to come in and take a less of a contract to come play with us for an actual shot to win. I think it's a domino effect. If Brady do come, I think we have a shot. But say if we do have to fall back again, it's a tag. But even with that, I don't think we tag him because I'm all for tagging Shaq. Now, I know Shaq going to another subject. Yeah. I know you want to tell
me. Hey, Brian, you're kind of moving in through a couple of different topics. I'm going to go ahead and cut you off because I know a couple of the people want to call in here. But we're going to have more of these shows throughout the summer. Call us back and we'll talk to you some more then. Okay, buddy?
Go ahead. Absolutely.
All right, man. Hey, have a great rest of the night. Be safe, okay, man? There you go. Brian. Woo. Brian can talk, brother. Brian needs his own podcast. Let him get some of that out, man. Let him get it out. I love when Brian calls in, though. He's always fun. So
yeah, Brian's great. The end.
No, I worry about him, man. What's he going to talk about when Jameis goes away?
No, I can't remember everything you said, but the good thing about Brian is like you really don't have anything to argue with him about. Like, you know, he mm-hmm. understands the Buccaneers, he understands it works, he understands the players, and he's got his opinions, and he's spot on most of the time.
Right.
Brian's a great Buccaneers fan.
Right. Well, hey, listen, I think we got Nate here on the line with us. He's been trying to get in touch with us tonight. Nate, how you doing tonight, buddy?
No good. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. So glad I finally got to get you on. I think most of the times you've been calling, it's been when somebody else has been on the line or we just didn't take a call right. in that moment. So, hey, go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Sure. I'm just a lifelong Bucks fan and just want to give you my 2 cents. And like everybody else, you know, we all got a couple opinions and they're like armpits. They all stink, you know. But anyways, I just want to give you my thoughts. I think NFL is a win now league. And if the Bucks are going to do this and do it right, get the pieces you need to win. And Tom Brady's that piece. I mean, in the draft, take J.K. Dobbins first round, maybe Jonathan Taylor. Load up your offensive line. Get a safety first 3-4 rounds. Get a backup QB to develop later on. Let Winston walk. You know, I'd rather have a championship team, and we all know that's the case. You know, Winston is the reason we didn't do better in this past season. And that was year 5. And he had the best season he's ever had, yes, but he's also had the worst in the same season. How he does that, I don't know. But, you know, it comes down to having somebody that knows what they're doing, and Brady's going to unleash. I mean, they will be the most explosive offense in the league with Brady at the helm. I mean, look at the Chiefs. They were probably the best offense last year, right? They had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin are on another level over those guys. And Brady paired up with them, that's going to be nasty. And, you know, they'll tear it up on offense. And like BA said, he's going to keep the defense together. I think they'll bring back Sue and Shaq Barrett and, you know, all them other guys. But like I said in the comments, this crew won't be together forever. So do it now and, you know, go big or go home. And that's all I got to say. I'll actually hang up, open up the lines, but thanks for taking my call.
All right. Well, there he goes.
See, Brian? I'm just kidding. I love Brian. Yeah. No, Brian's great. Brian and I have gone back and forth with Jameis Winston for 2 or 3 years now.
Crazy to think it's been that long run.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, and now, you know, he looks like Nostradamus. Like, he wasn't wrong.
Right, right. Well, we've spent so many years on this show defending Jameis, making excuses. And I mean, we're at that spot where,
and I still want to, but then you're talking about the greatest quarterback to ever live.
Yeah. Yeah.
So besides him. No, I don't want anybody else. I mean,
I'm a little more flexible on it, but I hear you. Ren, we got a brand new caller in with us. Who do we have here tonight joining us on the Instant Cast?
Well, first time since 2020, John Relly is new poor Richie. John, hey, guys.
What's up? Listen, if we had a PewDie to give out for caller of the year, my friend, you would have won this past year. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm here to bring some Norma Quincy back into this conversation. I'm more of like a middle ground type of guy.
Okay.
You know, I don't hate Tom Brady, but I do like Winston. You know, I do believe that, hey, for the guys to be like, oh, you don't need a run game defense or anything if you're a good quarterback. Well, look what happened with Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago and see how that happened. You know, how he tried to carry his team and then his team collapsed. Mm-hmm. They make playoffs. So it's like you do need a run game and an O-line and a defense, you know. Tom Brady, you can say he was carried by his defense last year and at some point. So, you know, that's what happened. So it's like you do need defense. You do need O-line. You can't just be like Mr. carry the team on my back.
Right.
That's not possible. And I hate that. Like, come on, people. This is football. You need to win on both sides. You need to win on special teams, defense, and offense. And if you don't have a defense, you don't have special teams, and you barely have an offense, you're not going to, and the only bright spot of the quarterback, you're not going to get far.
Yeah, well,
and that's
you know, and I feel you, and you're right. And this is something, you know, Brent said, God, I don't know, it feels like a year ago, that whatever you feel about Jameis Winston, you're right. You know, you're going to call up and say, well, he can't win without a defense. And it has been horrible. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But then after you finish, you know, speaking, I can go, well, you can't win throwing 30 interceptions. And I'm absolutely right.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
And And but the one thing I do not like about Tom Brady, his heart's not in it. You know, you heard the stories about him. His first team was the 49ers. And if he didn't, and if he doesn't want to go to the 20, if his dream was to go to the 49ers and now he has to go with the Bucs, his heart's not in it. I don't want a guy whose heart's not in it. It'll be another Chris Baker. It could be another Chris Baker or DeSean Jackson where their heart wasn't truly into the Bucs. You know, they're like, oh, it was an option. You know, I don't want to be, oh, we were an option. We weren't your first choice. You know, we weren't your heart. And I don't like that because it's like he's not going to play with his heart. You know, he's not going to play with his heart like he did with the Patriots or what he would have done with the 49ers. He's not going to play with all of his heart.
You know, and that's something that
irks me.
It's one of those things, John. I really try not to make it a point to tell somebody else what their emotions are or where their heart is in something. So I can't go there with you on that. But I can certainly understand why you'd be a little gun shy about that, given what we just saw out of a Chris Baker or a DeSean Jackson. I even say a Vin Curry who just said, hey, it was like, I just got a year vacation in Florida when he left. And Vin Curry didn't do anything wrong.
That's how Tom Brady could be like, oh, you know, this is retirement home. This is my retirement home now.
Yeah, I could see why that'd make you a little gun shy, but I'm not comfortable sitting back saying Tom Brady's heart isn't in it, because here's what I think about Tom Brady. And this is what I believe to be true. And this squares with most of the stories I've heard about him, like in practices and stuff. Tom Brady is going to come in here. Tom Brady wants to win. I don't think Tom Brady has much else to live for than winning Super Bowls. Like I go assigning stuff to him. He's got other stuff to live for, but the man likes to win and the man knows to win. So if he thinks he's going to go in, he's going to give it his all and try to win. At least I think he is. You know, I also believe this, and I've heard stories about how Tom Brady would be in the middle of practice. Ren, I think we heard this a couple of years ago when the Bucs did training camp with the Patriots, maybe under Shiano or something, but like the Patriots came out and like they were just sort of sloughing through practice, and Tom Brady, like, he stopped practice and said, this is not how we practice. This is not what we do. Like, he held them to a higher standard. And I would hope that if that's true, if that story is true, and that rings true with who he really is and what he's been in New England, I would hope that would come down here to Tampa as well, that he would bring those same sort of traits, you know, but who's to know what he's going to do? Ren, go ahead, bud.
Yeah. Just real quick. I'm with you, Brent. Like if you have reservations about Tom Brady, that's fine. But if your reservation is that he didn't get to go to San Francisco because he's not going to try as hard with the Buccaneers, that's a huge leap you're taking on a guy who like lives to compete. Like he's the Kobe, he's the Jordan, he doesn't want to beat you. He wants to embarrass you because you stepped out on the field with him.
Yeah.
Like he takes that. He's like, I cannot believe you actually think you're going to try to beat me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make you look terrible because you, that's just the way he's wired. So if you have a reservation about Brady coming to Tampa, I'm with you. If that's your reservation, I wouldn't worry about it.
No, another reservation is that if a guy like Jameis Winston, you know, if Brady gets injured, it could be career ending. You know, he only has a couple more years. So if he gets a bad injury, it's career ending, at least with Jameis Winston. At least he's young enough where he could come back for that. You know, and then we can see how he is. But for Tom Brady, if he gets a bad injury, bad nick, that could be it. You know, we might not even get the full year. That's a thing, you know, and that's another thing. And, you know, then that goes back to the age thing. You know, we've seen that happen with a couple times, you know, where quarterback, he gets a contract, then he gets injured, and then he really is forced to go out, you know, and then it's a shot to you.
Again, that could happen. I could also get hit by a bus sitting here in my house.
I know the street you live on. That'd be a hell of a thing to see a bus coming down that street.
It could lose control. There is a bus stop like a block and a half away.
You are kind of on a corner-ish type thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel you. Like, again, if you have reservation about Tom Brady, I get it. And if it's an age thing, I understand. And yeah, you sign it for 2 years and he gets hurt. Yeah, it could be a season ending. Well, you know, it happened to Bridgewater, but you're not signing Tom Brady to a 5-year deal,
right?
You know? And so it doesn't matter. Like, if you sign him to a 5-year deal, he gets injured, he'll be done because he's too old. But you only sign him to 2 or 3 years, and if he gets injured, you're going to eat up that season, a whole other season. Okay. But if you sign Winston to 7 years and he gets injured, eats up the rest of that season and next season, it's like starting all over again anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so I feel you, man. But, you know, I just don't think, for me at least, I can't get behind you and being those two reasons not to bring in Tom Brady or be afraid to bring in Tom Brady.
Right.
No, I don't. I'm not saying Tom Brady would be bad, but it's just that, and a guy like Jameis, you know, he really has shown, you know, he can get hurt, get back up. You know, he's shown everything like Tom Brady, where he's resilient and stuff. He's a, and, you know, he, and it'll be the second year of Bruce Arians' offense, so we can assume it would be better. You know, we've seen that happen before. You know, yes, you could say with Tom Brady, too, that Bruce Arians' first year, you know, it could be a little iffy here and there because, you know, it's a new, could be a new system, but he could succeed with the wide receiver core. But that's a what if, and I'm just afraid of this. James, when we've seen this happen before, you know, where it's like a guy moves on, and he goes to another team, and he's amazing for the other team. We've seen it with Ryan Tannehill, where he moved on from the Dolphins, he goes to the Titans, and he does well. And what happens? Then it's like, then we go back to what is, where it's like if James Winston goes to this team and he does amazing, then, and we do this and we don't succeed, then we look like suckers.
Mm-hmm. It, you know, I mean, that's the thing, though. You got to make your choice and you got to move on. I hear what you're saying. I really do. I just, I'm at a point with Jameis, and Ren, tell me if this is not where you are, because I think you've said this a few times. If they bring Jameis back, fine. If they move on and they go get somebody else, I really understand and I get it. And I can't say that they're wrong for doing that either. And, you know, I don't know. And thus, this is where we are as a fandom. And it almost seems like this is where they are as a franchise as well, you know? So we're not in there. John, you got anything else before I let you go for tonight, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the organization, if they bring in Tom Brady, I'll support no matter what. I'm not a guy who's going to jump ship just because we changed Jameis Winston. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to support whatever decision they make.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm hoping that we do re-sign our defensive line. We haven't heard any news on that. So I'm a little scared of that because we've been silent.
Yeah.
Like, we've been silent.
Yeah, I mean, Cook talked about that to us the other day. Oh, we haven't released that. If you guys saw the live stream, you've already heard Cook's interview. We'll release our interview that we had with Mark Cook from Pewter Report, but he was talking to us about that, about the idea that things have been incredibly quiet at One Buck this offseason.
Like eerie, like it's scary.
Like intentionally quiet. Like they've got like a cloak over that place right now. And I don't know what's happening with the rest of the league, with the CBA up in the air and now it's settled and with everything else. I haven't heard a ton of other stuff happening around the league, to be honest with you. But
I think franchising sack will probably happen. I think that's a guarantee now.
Did you say franchise sack? A check? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think it's guaranteed at this point.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, they've got, from when we're recording this right now, they've got about 13 and a half hours to either land a deal or franchise.
So 11:59, that's when the tag has to be, they have to announce, they have to put it in at 11:59 a.m.
And hopefully somebody calls it in, because you guys remember that deal? Who was it? Was it the Browns? Like they had a deal set to get some like big name quarterback or something, and they forgot to call it into the league office.
I think it was a linebacker.
It was some big name guy. Yeah, that was a couple years. They just forgot to call somebody from the organization, didn't call it into the office, and they didn't get to do it. So, John, man, thank you so much for your call. Stay with us throughout the summer. Yeah. We're going to be doing this for the rest of the offseason here and there.
Yeah.
And,
no matter what the organization does, I'll support them no matter what. They can send. So
go Bucks. Go Bucks. You know, Ren, that's something that I do keep hearing from so many people around the fandom. And I see this out on social media. We've had 2 or 3 people say it here on tonight's show. And I love this, at least this part of our fandom, of saying, regardless of what the Buccaneers do, whether they bring in Jameis, bring in Tom Brady, bring in Bridgewater, somebody else, we're going to cheer and pull for the Buccaneers and we're going to get behind them. And I do love that. I respect that. I want to talk about something other than Jameis Winston for a few minutes. Well, too bad. John actually just brought it up there for a minute. I want to talk about Shaq Barrett and this franchise tag. And I'll say my bit and then I'll let you go on with it. With Shaq Barrett, I've said this out on social media and I'm going to say it here. And I want to explain what I mean when I say this. I have no doubt and I fully bet that Shaq Barrett is going to get the franchise tag before 12 o'clock tomorrow. I just do. I think he's going to get the tag. I do not, however, think that he's going to play under the tag. And people go, whoa, he said he would play under the tag. Guys, remember, the franchise tag is not about locking in a guy for a year. If you have to, if it comes to that, push comes to shove, it does that, and he's guaranteed a pretty good check, at least for the 1 year. What I think is going to happen, though, is I don't think they're going to come to an agreement with Shaq before tomorrow at noon. I think they'll franchise tag him, and all that's going to do is it's going to extend their exclusive negotiating period with Shaq, and sometime before the start of the season, they will replace that franchise tag contract with a new long-term deal. And that's my prediction of what is actually going to happen with Shaq Barrett. I think they're going to get a deal done. It's going to be a longer-term deal. He's not going to play under the tag. But if he does play, if he does get tagged, and I just put this out there because I hear so many people saying, oh, tag Shaq, let him play under the tag, let him play under the tag, let him play under the tag. Just because he gets tagged does not mean he's playing under the tag. And I just want to throw that out there and clarify that. But that's my thoughts on Shaq Barrett. Obviously, he's coming back one way or the other. Ren, I'll toss it over to you for whatever you want to say on that. All right, moving on. Anything else? I mean, it's...
No, yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, they've been working on a deal and they're not going to get it done. They're not.
The report is, by the way, the report is, was it Pewter Report? I want to say it was Pewter Report, said they are working right now trying to get a deal done with Shaq before the 12 o'clock deadline tomorrow. Like that, right now, as we speak, they're trying to get that done. Yeah. I just don't know what they're going to do.
But they won't get it done.
Yeah.
Because if they get it done, then the Bucks will get to use the franchise tag on someone else. Mm. And that's Rosenhaus's leverage.
Right.
You know, and then when the Bucks use the tag, now everything's back to quid pro quo and they can start for reals.
Right.
For realsies.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. I mean, you know, if they get it done beforehand, you know, at the 11th hour, great. I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Who do you think they'd franchise if they franchise anybody?
I'm going through my head in the free agent list.
But you got to remember what the tag is. I mean, it's been reported many times that they do not want to give Jameis $27 million.
Right.
Like, they don't want
to
tag him.
They're going to roll the dice on the fact he's not going to get an offer somewhere else. Right. What they could do is they
sounds like they're rolling the dice and bringing in Tom Brady.
Well, but what they could do with him though is instead of using the franchise tag, they could use the transition tag.
No, you could.
You can't do both under the new CBA that just got signed like this morning. You can't do both. You can do one or the other, but the transition tag would be less. However, if another team offers him something, the Bucks have a chance to match that first, is my understanding of how the transition tag works.
Right.
It's kind of like it puts you back in the not the exclusive rights free agent. What's the other one?
Non-exclusive rights.
Maybe it is the exclusive rights for it, but it's the one.
If someone signed with another team, doesn't that team get two first round picks?
Is that what it is?
I think so.
You might be right. It's some sort of big compensation. So I could possibly see the Bucks doing that with Jameis as opposed to a franchise tag. But they can rescind their franchise tag like between now and the start of season or something like that, can't they? If they haven't signed it. That's right. If they haven't signed it. So yeah,
they haven't signed it.
Yeah,
I don't know, but all these questions are going to be answered, like you said, in like 13 hours.
Right.
At least start to be answered.
Right. Right. So
because deals are going to come out right at noon.
Yeah, they are. They are. So there's the tag for Shaq. You know, everybody's refreshing Twitter. People are asking in the chat. I saw this a little earlier. Ren, I know you're a big Jersey guy. How do you feel about the Jersey leak that's come out here recently? I know you've seen it.
I've seen it, but I haven't looked at him really.
No,
like I'm one of those people. I'm waiting for the reveal. You know, okay, right. I just, you know, I think they're going to be fine and I'm not going to put all my eggs in the basket. Like, oh, here they are. Cause what if that's not what they are?
Right. Well, hey, listen, we got a phone call. Let's see who is calling in tonight. You're on the line with Brent and Ren. Turn us down in the background and let us know who we're talking to.
Yeah. This is Eric again. I got a question about the tag and then the tag thing is from Bucks could tag Barrett for two. Bucks could tag Barrett for two first round picks. I could easily see that happening. We could do that with Barrett. We could get two first round picks.
Oh, do you use the transition tag on Barrett and grab the two first round picks if somebody signs them, as opposed to using a franchise tag? That's an interesting thought.
I could see that happening.
The only thing about that is that if they do that, they still risk losing Shaq. And I mean, For Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians has been real wishy-washy on Jameis Winston. He's not been wishy-washy on Shaq. Shaq's coming back. They got to re-sign their defensive line. That's been the thing. That, we've heard Bruce Arians enough. Now we know when Bruce Arians says something, that's what he means. And when he's really wishy-washy on it, good luck with that one ever coming to fruition, you know? So it's an interesting thought, but I don't think that's what they do.
I got one question for you. What's the chances of Jameis Winston coming back? And what's the chances of Tom Brady coming to the Bucs?
Ooh, the chances. Ren, you want to take that? What do you give it a percentage? What do you think the chances of it being Jameis versus Tom Brady?
Well, I'll take them separately.
Okay.
Jameis Winston coming back, 40%. Tom Brady becoming a Buck, 80%.
Really? You think it's that close?
Awesome.
You think it's that close?
I don't know more than anybody else. Sure. I mean, it's just a guess. Like, don't take my, you know, like,
that's your, just your guess, right?
That's your guess. Yeah, it's a very uneducated guess. Right. It's just a guess.
Right.
You know, and then I would think it probably go Bridgewater would be like the next under there, like at 60%. And then I think Jameis would be next.
Interesting. I'm just not high on Bridgewater. I'm really not. I don't know. It's not my choice, right? No, I get it. I don't see what they see other than just the idea it's not Jameis, you know, which that may be enough for them, honestly. It's just not Jameis. Ren, I know we talked about, like, we don't really get into other people's psyches a whole lot, but I really wonder with Bruce Arians, you know, one of the storylines last year with Bruce Arians, one of the big storylines was, man, Bruce has been following Jameis since he was in high school, since he had him at that camp. And he's kind of the quarterback, you know, he was the quarterback he wanted. You know, he really believed in Jameis, wanted to see what Jameis could. And he gets like a year into Jameis and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to talk. You know, like, it's gotta be a weird spot to find yourself in a little bit, or, you know, or people just blew way out of proportion how much he really wanted Jameis himself, you know?
I mean, there's so many things that could go into that. And, you know, we've talked about how it could possibly be like, cause he waited till after the last game.
Right.
And then that's
Cause he didn't, because even before that, when people would ask him about Shaq, he goes, Shaq's not getting anywhere. But then whenever they would ask him about Jameis before the last game, you're like, we're going to let it play out. You know, like the people that he was definitive on. With Jameis, he was never definitive on, even up till even before the last game. So I'm just saying he didn't wait until the last game to suddenly get wishy-washy on him. Like, he'd been wishy-washy on him before that.
The week before, like when he threw 4 interceptions, like what was the question again? What were we talking about? I'm sorry.
We were talking about, I was talking about how weird it must be for Bruce Arians. Like, this was the guy he wanted to kind of go. I mean, that was the big storyline last year. Was this the guy he wants? This is the guy he wants. And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, not so much.
I guess that's what 30 interceptions will do to a head coach.
There you go. There you go. That's probably it. All right, Ren, I think we've got our final phone call of the night, who is calling in. Who do we have here on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast?
Hey, guys, this is Joey from California.
Joey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so my question is, let's say first round pick, we get one of the 4 tackles and we put the tag on Shaq. And then with this extra money and the cap, we end up signing Melvin Gordon. Who would our second pick be?
Okay, what was that last part? I heard getting one of the 4 tackles, franchising Shaq.
Getting one of the 4 tackles, signing Melvin Gordon with the extra $10 million in cap space.
Right. Who would they go in the second round?
Yeah.
I would probably, well, if I'm assuming it's like JPP and everybody else, I still wouldn't shy away from a running back. I don't think Gordon's coming here. You might want to look at wide receiver there, interior defensive line, edge, interior offensive line. Everything sort of opens up. And this is what's really going to be fun now that free agency is going to, you know, sort of officially start tomorrow. Is they're like, the Bucs are going to sign a running back. It may not be Melvin Gordon, maybe somebody that you haven't heard of, but a fill-in guy, but it might be somebody like Melvin Gordon. Like, they're going to sign a right tackle. It's not going to be, it's probably not going to be Conklin, but it might be someone who's pretty close. You know, they're going to pick up a guard somewhere. Like, they're going to find an edge guy. They're going to assign a defensive tackle. What Jason Light's job is to not be pigeonholed into anything when he goes into the draft, where he doesn't have to go, okay, I need a tackle. I've got to get one in the first round, because if not, like, our year's toast. So it could be really anywhere. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier, how really what a nice job Jason Light has done with this roster.
Yeah.
Because if, like you said, they get a tackle and we have Melvin Gordon, but what else do we need? Like, who else can plug in and walk in and be a starter? Well, now the safety, who I don't think they're going to draft, starts to come into question, because, yeah, there's four guys back there. I'm including Evans. There's four guys back there. But if you find a better one and bump somebody down the line, you know, a corner, somebody like Bryce Hall out of Virginia, like, you know, get in there and fight for competition. You need depth there, you know, a defensive tackle that could beat, you know, like a second round defensive tackle. Don't tell me you can't find a second round defensive tackle that can outplay, not outplay Will Golston, right. You know, like, so everything's on the board, you know, or take your future quarterback. Say they do have Tom Brady, or it's Jameis Winston. You know, you still got to groom somebody. You know, it might be Eason, could be Fromm, could be Hurts. Like, all those guys will be there in the second round, so it could go anywhere. And that's what makes it, you know, that's what you want as a football fan, because that means your GM's doing their job.
Yeah, I like the drafts and the free agency pickups that Jason's done, except, like you guys said earlier, the Vernon, Roberto, Noah Spence draft. So I really hope that this year, with that extra compensatory pick, you know, we get those needs, and hopefully we do get Tom Brady and can move on from this whole Jameis every game holding our breath in the fourth quarter, hoping he's going to win it and then losing it. And you know, I'm just ready for this season to get started so we can get over this period we're all hating.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. I mean, this is the off season though, every year, right? Like, we got to, you know,
somebody attacks the media.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's we got to get some stuff washed out or not. And that's losing. You know, we need to get a winning season. And you know, I remember that year, it was under Dirk Cutter, the Buccaneers won the quote unquote meaningless game there at the very end against the Saints or something like that. And it was still a losing record. And they're like, well, but it tastes a whole lot better going in the offseason with a win than it does with a loss or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking at it now going, I don't care what those are. Like, it wasn't a winning season. You know, we need the winning. I don't need a winning game at the end.
Sure would have been nice to have Quentin Nelson.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Was that the draft?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Nothing against Vita Vea, but man, we could have had Quentin Nelson. Oh, oh. All right. All right, Joey. Hey, man, you got anything else for us here before we let you go?
I'm ready for this period to open tomorrow, and thanks for taking my call. Go Bucks.
Yeah, man, you got it. Go Bucks. Go Bucks. So, all right, Ren. We've talked about everything that I have on my list. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here for tonight?
Well, we didn't talk about free agency, but I do not want to.
Fair enough.
I'm tired.
We'll discuss.
We didn't talk about anybody out there besides Tom Brady, but I kind of knew the way it was going to go. Like, sure. I started to do all this research. I'm like, okay, I'll have a tier one tackle, tier two tackle, tier three tackle, tier one wide receiver, tier two. I got him at my third position. I went, what am I doing? It's a call-in show. There's no way I'm getting any of this.
Right, right. Well, I mean, there'll certainly be time to get there and see what we do. But, you know,
no, there won't, because free agency starts tomorrow.
Well, okay. Well, I was thinking more talking about who we get rather than all the other people out there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, you know, and Ren, just kind of the way that we tend to do when there's big news that drops, guys. Stay tuned to our Twitter account, the PewterCast. At the PewterCast is where you can find us on Twitter, because you never know when Ren and I might pull an emergency one of these shows and go live on YouTube, go live at Facebook, maybe even open up the phone lines. You never really know. We may or may not do that.
Yeah. If Tom Brady signs, I think we'll be on
pretty close, pretty quick. They're already asking us in the chat room, like, when is the next show? I don't know. I don't know. You know, our rule in the off season is generally about once every 2 weeks, but buckle in, guys. There's going to be some news dropping here real soon, and probably some really big news. So I would anticipate, I mean, Ren, it's probably not out of the realm of possibility. There'll be something here in the next couple of days where we'll be jumping back in. And we do still have our conversation with Mark Cook to put out as well.
Yeah. So you will be getting the Cook interview, and that's where we sort of talked about, we talked more about sort of like the role in the media and how it's a really strange dynamic with Buccaneers fans and beat reporters because of social media and, you know, them constantly being called out that they're liars. They don't know what they're talking about. You're just guessing. And so we had, you know, an hour conversation with Mark Cook, sort of a lot of it being on that subject, which, you know, if you don't want to wait for it, just go to the
go one stream back in our YouTube channel. Yeah,
because we did an hour of that. Then we did like an hour of Brent doing his first mock draft. And yeah, I can't tell you when it's going to be, but it will be it's probably going to be sometime this week, because as soon as it hits noon on Monday, deals are going to be announced. And then they're going to be, well, it doesn't become official till Wednesday, but this is what's happening.
Right.
And
because a lot of these deals have already been worked out since like the combine. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bucks have to move fast, because if they don't get Brady, and this is, I'm assuming that their order is Brady, Bridgewater, Winston. If they don't get Brady, they got to move on real quick, because Bridgewater is going to be a hot commodity.
Yeah.
This is a really strange year. And a lot of people have said it, and we haven't said it on this show yet, but there are more quarterbacks out there with like that you want than there are jobs. And it's the first time I can ever remember. Like Mike Glennon just got what, like 3-4 years ago, it was something stupid.
$19 million.
Yeah. And it was something like 43 guaranteed or something ridiculous.
Yeah. It was 19 a year. Yeah. And it was like 43 guaranteed.
And he was the number one free agent quarterback.
Right. You know, and they went in and did that big trade for Trubisky that year. And he wound up losing his starting job like 10 games in or something like that.
Was it three?
Oh my God.
Three games in.
Was it really that close?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And then the Jaguars went and did the same thing.
Oh, Nick Foles.
With Foles.
Yeah, but see, they're going back to Foles, though. They're not going to stay with Minshew this year. It'll be Foles.
Okay, we'll see.
It'll be Foles. Unless they deal him, they're gonna play Foles. So anyway, that's the word in Jacksonville. That's
so just they can go, because they're going all in for Lawrence.
I think the oh crap, who was it? They are. Yeah, the Jags. Because man, they just we're not a Jags podcast. We're a Buccaneers podcast. So I'm not gonna go to
since
that.
When
since forever.
Since anyway,
I lived in Panther Country.
To answer your question, a very long about way. Yeah. I would not be surprised, you know, from hearing from us sometime this week with brand new content, excluding the Mark Cook interview that's not out yet.
Right.
But we'll be very shortly. And once again, like Brent said, just go back one stream if you want to hear it now.
You know, Ren, I'm just saying, last year I recorded some content and held on to it for a really long time. If you haven't listened to our episode that's a tribute to Casey Reynolds, guys, go back and do that, because that was really just a cool interview that I got to have with Casey. And
it was. You did a really good job on that one.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that. And
Way better than you do with Brian.
well, Casey breathed.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
But anyway, you guys make sure you go listen to that. And hey, listen, I'll repeat it here. Bears repeating, any ad revenues or anything we get from that particular episode, we're going to divert all of those into a charity. And I'll be working with his family to figure out which one's the best one. It's probably either be Make-A-Wish or one of the Hodgkin's lymphoma charities that are out there. So you guys make sure you do that as well. And hey, listen, we got lots of stuff coming out, lots of stuff going on. So Ren, man, I will leave it over to you at this point. Why don't you tell the folks out there where they can get in touch with you about anything that we've talked about today on the internet?
Sure. If anybody in chat knows Wash personally, tell him I miss him. You can find me on Twitter at Rendax, RENDAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. And now Jameis Winston's back on the table.
There you go. And if you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. The show is on Twitter at The PewterCast. We're over at Facebook.com/ThePewterCast. You can subscribe to us right here on YouTube. Click subscribe, click the bell icon to be notified when we go live, youtube.com/ThePewterCast. And you can always email us to ThePewterCast@gmail.com. And we'll take care of those emails on an upcoming show at some point, or just privately. Until then, guys, go Bucks.
Someone just asked if we're on Pinterest. Like, what?
Pinterest.
What? Come on, Tempe.